You're listening to The Bridge Metro West, located at 7 Strathmore Road in Natick, Massachusetts. For more information about The Bridge Metro West, our weekly Sunday gatherings, and other events, go to www.bridgemetrowest.com.
And we've been in a series called Charged. And what does that mean? That means that when you come into Jesus, you're charged with his presence, but you're also charged with purpose. And today, everything that we're doing today is empowering and releasing people into purpose. That's what baptism represents. And so we've been journeying through 1 Timothy, and we'll be going into 2 Timothy because it's a beautiful picture of mentorship, of spiritual fathering, of Paul releasing what he's been given upon a generation to release a generation. And he recognizes, he knows Timothy really well. And so when you go through the process of the letters of 1 and 2 Timothy, you begin to see that Paul understands that Timothy has the capacity to be lethargic or to think too small of himself as a young man leading older people. He has this propensity to be ill and all this kind of other stuff. And so Paul just addresses it all and says, you know what? You've not been given a spirit of fear, but you've been given a spirit of love, power, and discipline, sound mind, self-control. The Greek word there, it means all of those things. But you don't get sound mind and self-control unless you're disciplined. And so I like the New American Standard, but we're going to be reading out of the ESV today because I like the cover on my ESV Bible. It's really cool. It's got a nice cross on it. It's fun. So as we go on, we have to understand that when we're reading the text, it's not just historical. These are blueprints for a generation ready to rise. And guess what? You're all part of that generation, from the youngest to the oldest. When Abram was 90 years old, God spoke. When Moses was 80 years old, God showed up and said, hey, I want you to leave a slave nation and teach them how to be a free people. And so if you think you're done, if you think you're retiring, you think you're taking a step back, Mama Verna, you just beginning. Okay. 1 Timothy and Maybell, of course, but if I say anything to Maybell, she might come up and tackle me or, yeah, please don't. 1 Timothy 6:12. Paul charges Timothy. He says, fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called. Look, guys, this is not passive. The American church, we become very passive in our thinking. We allow a lot of things to come to us, but because that's our culture. I mean, that's sort of the consumer mentality. You can go home and we live in an on-demand culture. Like when I was a kid, we had to walk uphill both ways. No, when I was a kid, we actually had to walk up to a TV and turn the channel. And then your siblings would go up during the commercial and then turn the channel. You know, Sunday afternoon for me was like, I wanted to watch football, but I had two sisters that wanted to watch Shirley Temple. There was a show tune for everything that you could ever possibly say. Anything that you could say in my house, there was a show tune or like a jingle, you know, like a commercial jingle. There was music all over the house. And I like music, but I also like football. So there was a lot of, that's what we had to do. Now you go home and you have 1,000 shows. Like you can't even decide what to watch. You just sit there, you page through Netflix. Yeah, it doesn't work. Page through Hulu. We live in an on-demand culture, but God is not an on-demand God. You have to fight the good fight of faith. That's what we talked about last week. It's time to get your fight back. New England, it is time to get your fight back. Bridge Metro West, it's time to get your fight back. Lay hold of things. And to lay hold of something probably means that you have to let go of something else. That's how this works. And that's what baptism represents. So today we're not just continuing a series, we're stepping into another level of activation. And for some in this room, this moment has been years in the making. For others, it's a divine interruption. I love divine interruptions, but then the Lord will test me in that. I don't really like divine interruptions. I like my plans. You guys know that. But when he does divinely interrupt, it's always good if you stay in the flow of what he's doing. So, for some of you, I hope for you it's a divine interruption. I hope for me everything goes according to plan. But for all of us today, today's focus on baptism is about stepping fully into the charge to live boldly, baptized into Christ and burning with purpose. So what are we doing today? Number one. Yeah, I got numbers every week now. It's so crazy. Baptism is a declaration of the legacy that you belong to. For those of you who are being baptized today, it's not just happening to you. It's going to happen through you. That's the importance of why we do baptism publicly on a Sunday morning, because it's always a testimony of Jesus, which is always the spirit of prophecy being released in a room. Does that make sense? So let's begin with foundation. I was going to have you turn to your Bibles, but I'll, you know, just write it down. It's going to be on the screen, I believe. 1 Timothy chapter 6. We're going to do a few scriptures today. And out of the ESV, it says this, verse 11. But as for you, O man of God, Paul talking to Timothy, flee these things, pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, steadfastness, gentleness. Now, to understand what you're supposed to flee, you've got to read the first 10 verses of that chapter. So when you lay hold of something, there are things that you need to release. And sometimes we're hanging on to so many things. I talk about it a lot. Like, you know, people want breakthrough and they don't realize if you just look down, you realize that the chains that you thought were hindering you were broken 2,000 years ago and the breakthrough's already come. Now you just gotta follow through and you gotta step out of the very thing that you thought was holding you back, because it's not actually holding you back anymore. You're holding you back. So pursue righteousness, pursue godliness, pursue faith, pursue love, pursue steadfastness, and pursue gentleness. Especially on social media. Paul is reminding Timothy that his identity, his legacy, is not defined by the world. He is a part of a lineage of faith. And he talks about, you know, Timothy's, you know, lineage. You're talking about a grandmother and how, what he was raised in. Timothy is carrying something already. And baptism is not just a symbolic ceremony. It's a bold declaration. I don't believe that you have to be baptized in water in order to obtain salvation. Otherwise, it would be works-based. But we walk in obedience on the other side of salvation, and we receive the blessing of God when we're in that obedience and we're baptized in water. We're making a public profession of faith, and now God starts making his appeal through us. It happens every baptism. Someone in the room is deeply impacted by those who are in the tub. We affectionately call it tubby time. What's the declaration? I belong to the family of God. I walk in the legacy of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, of Peter, Paul, Timothy. I carry the life, the name, the nature of Jesus. When you're baptized, you're not joining a club. You're being marked. It's in our mission statement. We want to leave the imprint of the Father's heart on everyone we meet. What does that mean? I want to see what God can do through you. You don't understand what that means? Like, you got a brand of God, like, and I'm talking about like the brand, like, you know, I don't have anything branded on today, but like, you know, the name on your shoe if you're wearing Reebok or Nike. I'm talking about the brand that like cattle ranchers brand cattle with. It's fiery. It's blazing with the glory of God, and that is inside of you. And when you go out from this place, or even in this place, you can leave the imprint of the Father's heart on everyone that you come in contact with, and they will never be the same again. You know what? They may say yes to Jesus, they may say no, but they will have had an encounter with Christ in you, which is the hope of glory. Once you are branded, you are marked, and you are marked for all time, and that the fire of that brand is love. It's simple. We want to see what God can do through you. Not only here, but more importantly, Monday through Saturday. You're stepping into a spiritual lineage that spans generations in eternity, and one that calls out greatness in you. Are you great?
Yes.
This corner of the room. How about the rest of y'all? Are you great? Sometimes you got to call things that are not as though they are fully manifest in the present time, and you wake up in the morning and you're cranky and you realize that you are outside of the will and the love and the glory of God, except you're not. You just haven't become aware of it yet, because Christ still remains in you, and that is the assurance, the absolute assurance of the glory of God on earth. So are you great? Yes! Being a child of God is only found in Christ Jesus. Galatians 3, 26 and 27 says this: "For in Christ Jesus you are all sons of God through faith. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ." So we're going to put on some Jesus today. We're going to put on our Jesus clothes, our Jesus skin. Baptism clothes you with a new uniform. You now bear the name, the authority, and the anointing of Jesus. You carry legacy. Number two, baptism is an immersion into his power. We believe that. We pray for that. I walked by, like yesterday I was here, and I walked by and I dipped my hands into the water, and I was just like, Holy Spirit, come. We want you to have an encounter with God when you step in to the water. Because the charge isn't just about legacy, it's about his power finding completion in your weakness. And that power isn't found in a title, talent, or effort. It flows from the resurrection life of Jesus. Romans 6, 3 and 4, one of my favorite passages of scripture. It says this. Just write it down, Romans 6. Read the whole chapter. Read Romans 1 through 8 this week. It'll be great. It'll change your life. Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that we too might walk in newness of life. Let me say this clearly. Baptism isn't just burial, it's breakthrough. Baptism isn't just burial, it's also a resurrection. You go under the water into your history, your hindrances, your hurt, but you rise in power. Bless you. Deliverance. Okay. Some of us today are going to leave behind shame, cycles of sin, fear, false identities, even in the waters of baptism. And we're not dipping toes into dead religious structure. We're diving head first into resurrection power. Do you believe that today? What does that look like? You got to ask yourself that question. I'm not going to teach on that. What does that look like for you to walk out resurrection power this week, even in the midst of your frailty, in the midst of your difficulty, in the midst of all of the things that you think are holding you back, stepping into that space where you understand that his power is actually completed and perfected in those weak spaces in my life. And now I'm going to get to see the glory of God work through me, even though I don't even feel like it, because that's where he gets the glory. And sometimes you will feel like it, more and more. And that's where we get to really one of my favorite verses in the whole Bible, 2 Timothy 1:7. For God gave us a spirit not of fear. The New American Standard says timidity. A lot of people say, well, I'm not really afraid. Well, you're timid. What do you mean I'm timid? I can tell by how you pray. I can tell by how you serve or not serve. I can tell by how you live your life when you are timid. It's easy to become timid because we walk in timidity, but oftentimes we name it humility. But humility knows who you are, but it also knows who you are before God. That's why I can be completely humble, but still get a swagger in my step, especially when I feel like the enemy's trying to bring opposition. You know, when I'm, you know, not only here, but I'm traveling or I'm ministering in certain places, and, you know, I could be in Africa and the witch doctor walks by and I just smile. I got the ministry of smiling. And I tell you what, nine times out of 10, they don't even want to mess with you. They don't want to mess with a smiling Christian. I'm telling you. You walk in this. You've not been given a spirit of timidity, but of power, love, and self-control. So when you say to me, you know, well, I just can't control this. Well, if you are in Christ, you have self-control. You have the capacity to control your behaviors. You have the capacity to take captive every thought, sometimes violently. You got to violently reach into your thought processes and grab those things, pull them back, and make them obedient to the voice and the word of Jesus Christ. You've got that power. The word says it, no more excuses. Doesn't mean that you're not going to screw up. You're going to screw up. You're going to make mistakes. I make mistakes, you know, once a year. Debbie. Silence! Okay. I won't finish that. Okay. So when you're baptizing, you are testifying, but you're not just testifying, you're also receiving. And it's a supernatural moment. That's what we pray for. That's what we push for. It is a supernatural moment. History gives way to destiny. Hurt gives way to healing. And a hindrance gives way to empowerment. Number three, baptism aligns you with kingdom purpose. Paul charged Timothy to guard the deposit entrusted to you. Let me say it again. Our faith is not passive. There is an activity. There is an activeness. It's not really a word, but it's fine. I'm taking liberties today. You have to actively engage with your faith. There are things you lay hold of. There are things that you pursue. And there are things that you release. Guard the deposit entrusted to you. When God puts something in you, that's what you hold on to. That's how you go from one level of glory to another level of glory. Not forgetting what he put in you last year, still maintaining that, stewarding that. Everything that God deposits on your heart is like a perennial. It's like a perennial flower, and it's gonna come up every year. You've gotta keep feeding that soil. You gotta keep watering that soil. You gotta guard that thing. You gotta keep the groundhogs out. You gotta keep the rabbits from eating your things. You gotta keep the squirrels from getting up and chewing through your solar light cables and all that other stuff that they do. I'm just hypothetically, metaphorically speaking, that didn't just happen this week. I love my squirrels, but when they start chewing through cables, I get tempted to pull out some weapons of warfare. So Matthew 28:18-20 says this. And Jesus came, and I'm gonna kind of run through it a little bit. And Jesus came and said to them, go therefore and make disciples of all nations. That's people groups, that's everywhere. All peoples, people groups, nations, cities, peoples, all that stuff, every tribe, tongue, nation. Baptizing them, what? Teaching them, what? To observe all that I have commanded you. What do we baptize people in? The name of the Father, the name of the Son, the name of the Holy Spirit, because God is three in one. And Jesus didn't tell us just to preach. He commanded us to baptize. And he didn't just tell us just to baptize. He commanded us to make disciples. It's not just, you know, repeating a prayer or me handing out a decision card so people can check off, I said yes to Jesus today. It is to make disciples. That is what we're called to do. That is why God has given us a fivefold ministry as people gifts to the church, not a onefold ministry. Because we need the evangelists, but we need the rest of the fivefold to raise people up into the destiny in which they were called once they say yes to Jesus, to give them a firm foundation of the word so when the winds of life blow, they will not be blown about with it. Does that make sense? Okay. Baptism is alignment. When you rise out of that water, it's not just about a permanent personal moment, although it is, but it's also a public commissioning. It is alignment with the will and the word of God. It's commissioning into the purpose of God. You're saying, God, I'm not here for survival. I'm here for purpose. I'm going through puberty today. My gifts are yours. My voice is yours. My life is yours. Get out of survival mode. Get your fight back. How have you expanded the kingdom in the last week? How have you expanded the kingdom in the last month? How have you expanded the kingdom in the last year? Look back. If you can't find a way, it's time to get your fight back. It's time to stop marking time, warming seats, you know, fulfilling what we consider to be religious obligations, and it's time to start speaking truth, but in love, saturated in love, because Romans 2:4 says his kindness, his goodness is what will draw people to repentance. If it's good enough for God, it's good enough for Christ in you that is the hope of glory, and that is the way that we operate. Number four, when we baptize, we step into heaven-backed identity. We see this prototype right here in Matthew 3:17. Now, if Jesus is getting baptized, I figured we probably all should do it. Because everything he did to show us what is possible when we walk in him. And so when Jesus is getting baptized, Matthew 3:17, God the Father speaks and he says, "This is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased." At that point in time, Jesus, he didn't preach a sermon. He hadn't started his ministry. He didn't perform a miracle, although there's some traditions that say, you know, maybe he performed a miracle here and there. But heaven still opened and the Father declared, "You are mine, I'm pleased with you." This is important, guys, because the Father will say, "I love you, you're mine, I'm pleased with you," before you ever even do anything that you think is worth something. He starts with identity. It's the same thing in Genesis 1:28. When we were a birth, we were created out of clay. God breathed into us. And then he says, "Be fruitful and multiply." He's speaking destiny. He's speaking truth. He's speaking purpose before you ever do a thing. Because when he speaks, that is actually who you become. And so you are called to be fruitful in every area of your life. You are called to multiply in every area of your life. And the funny thing about fruit is the fruit is not for the tree. The fruit is to feed others. That's what the fruit of the Spirit is for. It's not for you. It's so that when you walk, you give the world a target to shoot for. You give an atmosphere that other people can feed off of and be drawn into the heart of the Father. Does that make sense? So that's what's happening here today. Heaven literally is opening. The voice of the Father is literally resounding, not based on performance, but on identity, which is found in Jesus. And as we baptize today, listen for it, because in the Spirit, he's still declaring over each one of you, "You're my beloved. You are charged with purpose. You are saturated in power, and you are called to legacy." So what does that mean for everyone in this room? I know there's three being baptized. If you're here today and you've not been baptized, or you just feel like you need to be baptized, you can get baptized. I know you didn't bring a change of clothes. That's fine. You'll dry off eventually. It's gonna be kind of warm outside. You can just step out in the front. You can borrow one of the little flipper towels. We got some extra towels here. But rise to the charge, whatever you do today. Rise to the charge. Like, I know in culture, you know, we step into summertime and this is the time that we kind of take a step back and we do things that we want to do. Look, the kingdom doesn't stop building in the summer. That's why I love the timing of this baptism even, because nothing, heaven doesn't stop. Heaven doesn't say, you know, we're going to take a break for the summer, resign vacation. No, the kingdom is still building. And the reality is, do you want God to build kingdom through you? You got to make that choice. I'm not making that choice for you, but how you walk from now and into 2026, I'm already looking at 2026. How you walk over the next 6 months will be the demonstrator of where you stand in him. It just is the way that it is. Like, a lot of times we think that we're kind of sneaking around, or we're faking it till we make it. But I'm telling you, the eyes are the window of the soul. God puts on display where you are in him. I forgot to mute my phone. Okay. So if you've been baptized, this is your moment to remember your charge and step up into it. Oh my goodness. My wife's texting me. No, I was a, oh yeah, you're right. I forgot about that. So baptism is not a finish line, it's a starting gun. I should have brought one as a prop. Okay, maybe a cap gun. You know? If you've already been baptized, this is your moment to remember your charge, to stir up the gift, to rekindle the fire. If you're getting baptized today, as a matter of fact, if you're getting baptized today, come up to the front row right now. Come on up, front row, front row, front row. If you're getting baptized, you can sit down though, you can sit. Yeah, Josh is sit, front row. Welcome to the battlefield. But I would say that for all of us, because I think there's quite a few of us that have stepped off the battlefield for a time. This is no longer that time. There are places that you can do that. If you really want to do that, that's not here. It's time to get your fight back. You're stepping into power, into purpose, into legacy. 1 Timothy 6, I'm going to read through 13 and 14 real quick. It says, I charge you in the presence of God. We are charged with presence, but we're charged with purpose. It is not just about what comes to me. I think more importantly, it's what comes through me. I charge you in the presence of God to keep the commandment unstained and free from reproach until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so I don't take this lightly. This is holy. This is powerful. This is the seed of revival. And so for everyone here, to the seekers, the prodigals, to those who have fallen behind your purpose, if you are hearing his voice today, do not harden your heart. The problem sometimes is for those of us who have dipped our toe into revival, we get a been there, done that attitude. Like, oh, we've been there. Oh, we've done that. You haven't seen nothing yet. There is such a weightiness in the kingdom right now. It's like heaven is like this membrane. Like we have this canopy thing, you know, whatever you call that. What is that called? A gazebo. Yeah. I English good. And when it rains, it's like the water just kind of weighs down on that thing. And then if you kind of poke it up, it all comes splashing down. That's what we're doing in New England right now. I feel like the church, so much of the church is under the gazebo and the rain has fallen, the glory has fallen. All we need to do is kind of take a stick up and reach up into that atmosphere and poke at that thing and then watch the water come crashing down around us. It's time to get your fight back. Don't harden your heart. To the ready ones, and there's a few of those too, who've counted the cost and want to surrender fully. It's time to die to the old and be raised to new life. Let's awaken legacy. Let's walk in power. And let's live on purpose. Prayer is not reactive. It's the first line of offense. First of all, pray. Get your fight back. Lay hold. Pursue. Guard. Keep. It's active what we do. And what we do here on a Sunday will reflect what you do out there Monday through Saturday. Holy Spirit, I ask that you would come. You would rest upon our hearts. You are the convictor. You are the baptizer. You are the empowerer. And so as you come, Lord, I ask that you would search us and know us. You would find those spaces in us that inhibit the free flow of your glory, of your grace. Even the things that where we have heaped shame upon our own heads, we've heaped self-condemnation upon our own heads, God, that we would come to a place in your love where we would trust the cross, we would trust the blood, we would trust your word where it says your mercies are new every morning, your grace is sufficient for us, your love endures forever, your power finds a place of completion in my weak spaces. How crazy is that, God? But it's just how you do it. Come, move, and breathe. God, I don't want to just bring inspiration in a moment. I want to bring investment for all time. God, move us from inspiration to investment. Move us from moments where we feel inspired around your presence and bring us to the place where we invest ourselves fully in your process. Yes. Your will be done. Your kingdom come. Your glory and the knowledge of your glory fill New England as it's known in heaven. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this message from the Bridge Metro West in Natick, Massachusetts. Paul David Guidry is the senior pastor at the Bridge. For more information about the Bridge Metro West family, our gatherings and events, visit www.bridgemetrowest.com or call us at 508-651-0277.